Good evening, my Blotto Scruffs. Welcome back to Blotto Beatles. Sorry, it's a little late on that one tonight. Celebrate the world over is the leading soak savants of Beatles broadcasting. I'm Becker, and this is a very special extrasode. But before we get to that, as a reminder, we are the podcast where a few friends usually have a couple of drinks and come together to discuss and rank a single Beatles song. That said, you aren't getting any of that tonight. Well, maybe a little bit of drinking. I can see here on the Zoom, there's a decent amount of drink. Right now, Scotty's drinking from a full wine, directly from a wine bottle. So, I got to tell you, Beatles podcasting certainly has a lot of benefits. The money, the fans, the jet set lifestyle. You know, everywhere we go, Tommy is ordering bottle service. We were in airport Chili's, and you got bottle service.
I did, yeah.
Seemed unnecessary, but, you know. However, I would say that behind the scenes, it's really this sort of intense celebrity Rolodex that we've developed that's maybe most interesting, right? And so a couple days ago, Malcolm Gladwell texted me, and I have it here, so I'll just read you. And he said, Blottos, you are the true outliers of Beatles podcasting. In the entire span of humanity, the Beatles existed in but the blink of an eye. But you cover this tipping point of modern music with such panache. Would you mind doing me this one favor? And I was like, how could we say no, right? You know? But no, in all seriousness, our friends over at Pushkin Pods gave us a sneak preview of this new Paul McCartney pod last week. And then they told us that we could pass it along to you. So that's kind of exactly what we're going to do with this episode. But we're not going to let you get off that easy because we're gonna pre-ramble it. You know, I've got the whole crew here tonight. We have Tommy, RB, Scotty, everyone's had a beer or two, you know. We were speculating a bit about this one because it just kind of had a little bit of a vague announcement of what this all meant. What is Paul doing getting into podcasting? Does he not have enough awards on the shelf? You know, we got to fight him to get a potty, you know. But and everything is being revealed on this episode and, you know, going forward. I'm into it. What do you guys think of the sneak preview?
This is one of the most exciting things that's happened to us, I think, since we started this podcast. The idea that, you know, as Becker said, the Pushkin Network that's putting out this new McCartney podcast, which have we said it? The title is McCartney, A Life in Lyrics. It's interviews pulled from that took place in connection to the lyrics book that came out. We got that sneak peek. I think we're going to be able to drop this episode the same day that it is released worldwide. And so we're giving a little preview. You'll hear in a few minutes that episode from the Paul podcast on our feed. And it's just what a cool thing. I mean, to have this connection to something and someone that we all respect so much has been really, really exciting.
Yeah. So I think the overview of the pod or Paul's pod basically is that he was working with poet Paul Muldoon on the lyrics book. And clearly they had recorded all of their conversations, and at the end of it, I think they decided to put this show together. For me, it was really a question at first, like, was this done intentional or not? And I feel like listening to this first episode that it probably wasn't intentional, and I think that's kind of maybe the interesting thing is here. I'm curious to hear Paul through 24 episodes of this thing, because it's not recorded entirely like a podcast, you know?
Not at all, yeah. They're recorded interviews that Muldoon is pulling together a narrative that, you know, he had clearly already done for the book, and then, but, you know, cutting it into a podcast form with some interjection and kind of thematic touch points to tie the whole thing together. And I loved it.
Yeah. You know? Paul seems a little looser, maybe, you know. Yeah. Sorry, Scotty, what'd you say?
I was saying, hearing Paul's voice about it, you know, it's not coming through words, you know, inked out on a piece of paper. It's like, this is this guy's voice and he's sharing his story or sharing how his process works is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you can really tell that too. Paul is really, he's proud of this song. Like it's,
oh yeah. Yeah. Especially
it's up there, you know, and it's really fun that they kind of almost take you through line by line and kind of get a little backstory on like this verse. And
Yeah, cool. So we got episode one, and that one's going to be Eleanor Rigby. And clearly, mm-hmm. You can, like RB said, to this day, you can tell that Paul's certainly very, very proud of this still. I will say, Paul Muldoon has a voice that I would replace any of you on the pod if he was interested in doing that, this rich Irish brogue that he puts on you. Yeah, and it's recorded ASMR style. I feel like I'm in his mouth the way a mama kitty carries a baby kitten around the yard, you know. But I did enjoy it probably a little bit more than I expected even a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, this is no intention to suck up to anyone here. I was happy to get it, and I think I'll keep listening, you know. And if anyone's listening to this show, like, this feedback is probably pretty bullshit in a way, but I really like the brevity of it also. Like, I feel like sort of snack-sized podcasting is especially interesting. This episode's about 18 minutes or something like that, and you really get a lot out of it. So I'm interested.
I was the one a couple episodes ago when we were kind of previewing this that was really poking fun and you know, trying to do some level of a hot take maybe, but the idea that, like, we haven't heard Paul tell the story of how he came up with Yesterday or something. And he's kind of, you know, saying, oh, I'm pulling back the sheet on this for the first time. And I was calling that into question. I heard stories about Eleanor Rigby that I had no idea existed listening to these 18 minutes, multiple things. You know, I do feel like the veil was lifted a little. Mm-hmm. And the takeaway for me also was I'm listening to Paul McCartney at 80 next to a singing Paul McCartney voice that's 25 years old, right? When they're pulling in excerpts of this song. And there's something just really poignant about that. And there's a piece of it where, you know, at 25, Paul's talking about Eleanor Rigby, and he's talking about age and loneliness. And we know that about that tune, right? And so he's 25 thinking about what it's like to be 80. And now here he is at 80 recollecting what it was like to be 25 and write this song. There's something very cyclical about that and poignant, as I said, that I found really, really gripping. That kind
of, I don't think
in.
That goes unnoticed by either one of them, which are, I think, I don't know how old the other Paul is,
who's carrying Paul's groceries home now?
Right? Yeah. What so Boy
probably
Scouts?
Probably the Boy Scouts. One day a year, those Boy Scouts are pitching in over there in London. So. Good on you. You know, good job, Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts around here are just charging exorbitant rates for popcorn. Do you know this? Have you ever bought Boy Scout popcorn? It's like $15 a bag. Like, what am I paying for here? It's popcorn. Like, it really should be the cheapest snack food, I think. But
it's the cheese and the caramel that they put on it that costs so much.
RB, do you pronounce he talks about two composers in this episode. Do you pronounce the first one the same way Paul does? He's like, Bach. He's really got the
little back of the throat.
I assume it's the German. I don't. Is he German?
Bach. I do not pronounce it that way. It's just Bach.
I know. Yeah. It's wrong. Hard.
Apparently, I'm incorrect.
Or it was the original lyrics to the Beatles song "Get Bach, Get Bach."
Correct, sir.
Thank you, McMahon. Yes.
And then on the back of that, the only really surprising thing is just a lot more psycho talk in this episode than you're probably ready for. I'm really going to set that up for a little bit.
But
had you ever,
really cool.
had you? I don't want to spoil much, but Scotty C., had you ever thought about that, the psycho connection?
No, but you know what? I picked Stab as a recent mystery word, and I'm like, man, this is a song to put Stab in.
So I think, you know, without much further ado, they didn't tell me that I could say this, but they didn't say that I couldn't say it. So, you know, please enjoy Blotto Beatles Presents a Pushkin Industry Podcast, McCartney, A Life in Lyrics.
Oh, my God. I wanted to become a person who wrote songs and wanted to be someone whose life was in music.
I'm Paul Muldoon. I'm a poet, a lover of not only the lyric poem, but the song lyric. Over the past several years, I've got to spend time with one of the greatest songwriters of our era.
And will you look at me? It's happened. I'm going on tour. I'm actually a performer. Am I actually a songwriter? My God, well, that crept up on me.
That is Sir Paul McCartney. We worked together on a book looking at the lyrics of more than 150 of his songs, and we recorded many hours of our conversations. This is McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, a masterclass, a memoir, and an improvised journey with one of the most iconic figures in popular music. Each episode is centered around the writing of a particular song, the people and the circumstances that inspired it. In this episode, Eleanor Rigby. Not many people know this, but an early ambition of Paul McCartney's was to be a poet.
I feel okay about admitting to the fact that, yeah, I wanted to look a bit bookish. I wanted to smoke a pipe on the top deck of a bus.
McCartney was friendly with the poet Allen Ginsberg, who had even revised some of McCartney's poems.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked.
I knew Ginsberg quite well, and he edited some of my poems.
And did he attempt to edit Eleanor Rigby?
No, he said, that's a great poem.
Well, that's right.
Said, that's a good poem.
I'm glad to
so
hear
So I was very pleased. That was like, you know, the best review.
The subject of Eleanor Rigby kept coming up in my conversations with Paul McCartney. It was like a reference point for him, a beacon he would steer by. There are many ways into this song, many things to talk about. But let's start with the central character, Eleanor Rigby herself.
I wanted a character who summed up all the little old ladies that I'd known. And I'm looking back on it, I knew quite a few.
Paul McCartney's dad had brought Paul and his brother up to be rather gallant. He taught them to stand up for old ladies on buses.
And he was the type who would doff his hat. Good morning. So I'd been kind of encouraged to, if I ever saw an old lady struggling with shopping, I would be the gallant young man. Can I carry that for you? Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you very much. Chat, chat, chat. Go to the house, drop it off. Would you like a cup of tea?
Paul was an active Boy Scout, and one of his favourite activities was Bob a Job Week, a common Boy Scout activity throughout England at the time.
In Maidenhead, Buckinghamshire, a group of enterprising cubs turn up at the town hall for their Bob a Job task,
where kids would knock on doors and offer their services for a shilling.
I was so glad I had to do all of this, like knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. Yes? Excuse me, it's Bob a Job Week. Have you any jobs that you would like me to do? And most of them would be puzzled as to what, well, I'd like to, but what? I said, well, have you got a shed out of the back? And maybe it needs tidying. Oh, yes, that's a good idea. Or have you got the garden needs digging? I was like, oh, yes, yeah, to give them the ideas. So I would. And in this way, I kind of got to meet a lot of older people. And I really loved it. I mean, once I got 10 bob. And I think they kind of liked me.
These relationships with elderly women are the original inspiration for Eleanor Rigby.
So I imagined this lady and I gave her a scenario, and she's picking up the rice in the church.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
So she's cleaning up in the church, which immediately sort of puts her in a social position and gives us an idea that there might be a little bit of poignancy with this rice, and it's not for her. It was where a wedding had been. And then she waits at the window and her face in a jar by the door.
Waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
My mum's favourite was Nivea, and yes. I love it to this day.
Yes, beautiful packaging.
Yeah.
Nivea.
Kind of scared me a little that women used quite so much cold cream.
Mm. The unguents, as they call them, you know, this kind of greasy stuff
that they put on. And it was my dread.
Yeah.
When I got older and got married, that I would marry someone who would say, "Oh, I love," and would put one of these big shower caps on,
yes,
and under curlers, and have masses of things. And I really, so that played on my mind quite a bit.
Yes.
So she was wearing the face she keeps in a jar by the door.
The name Eleanor had come partly from the actress Eleanor Braun, a star at the time, who had briefly dated John Lennon and starred in the Beatles' 1965 movie, Help.
I am not what I seem.
Hey, my skin's soaked right through to the skin.
There's more here than meets the eye.
See, Eleanor, I think, was always a fixture because we worked with Eleanor Braun. Took me a long time to think of Eleanor Rigby.
Paul's girlfriend at the time, Jane Asher, was also an actress. And one time when she was playing at the Bristol Old Vic, Paul was wandering around outside.
I was wandering around waiting for the play to finish and saw this shop.
Uh-huh.
Said Rigby. I thought, uh-huh, there's my surname.
Right.
It's nice. It's ordinary. But it's striking, it's strong, it's got all the sort of stuff I'd been looking for.
This is how Paul McCartney remembers it. Others have pointed out that the Rigby name might have come from somewhere different.
There is a grave up in Wilton Church where John and I wandered around endlessly talking about our future. And there is a grave there.
On the gravestone is the name Eleanor Rigby. And not far from it, another grave with the name Mackenzie on it.
I don't remember ever having seen that gravestone.
Of course not.
But it's been suggested to me that, you know, psychologically, I will have seen it.
Yeah. I think we do see things without seeing them.
Mm.
Of course we do.
Mm. They plant themselves
they
in
do.
Your brain, and then I have to go to Bristol and see it and go, ah.
The other main character in the song started out as Father McCartney, but it changed during a writing session with John Lennon.
I had Father McCartney, because it was the right syllables. And I remember playing it, and he said, "That's great, Father McCartney." He loved it. I said, "No, I'm really not comfortable with it, because it's my dad."
Mm-hmm.
"And my Father McCartney,"
mm-hmm,
"Father McCartney, it's me. You know, it's not, I don't want to be that personal with this." So we literally got the phone book out and went on from McCartney, Mackenzie. That's good.
Father Mackenzie.
And then we had him working, but his work was darning his socks because he was a sort of poor old vicar.
Darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
Father McCartney didn't make it into the lyrics of Eleanor Rigby, but he did play an important role in Paul's musical upbringing.
My dad had sat me down as a kid,
mm-hmm,
and taught me and my brother the idea of harmony.
Bye-bye, love.
The Everly Brothers sang in harmony, so me and my brother did. I once performed at a talent competition with my brother Mike when I was 11, and we sang Bye-Bye, Love. Didn't win. Obviously not talented enough for the Butlins crowd. My dad was self-taught, had learned, listened to things, and could play them. You know, I said, "Dad, teach me piano like you play it." He said, "No, son." He said, "I can't play." I said, "You can? Well, I can hear you." He said, "No, I can't play properly. You've got to go and learn."
So Paul McCartney went out to learn from a proper piano teacher. But he didn't find that kind of music lesson to be so stimulating.
It just killed me. I couldn't do it. When you go da 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 da, and you'd go da 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 da, you go, "I've heard better stuff than this on the radio." this is not great. But okay, I'm sure we have to start here. And then she set homework. Go home and learn what a crotchet and a quaver and thingy is and come back. So it was like, I've got homework from school. I don't need your homework.
When Paul McCartney was 21 and the Beatles already gaining national popularity, he gave the piano lessons another go.
And this was Royal Guildhall School of Music guy. And he tried, but by then I'd written Eleanor Rigby. And it, but he had to take me back to the five-finger exercise. I couldn't do the show. I just didn't want to do it.
Many of Paul's peers felt the same way about traditional musical training.
Everyone in my generation, all of us groups, mm-hmm. John, George, Paul and Ringo, Mick, Charlie, Keith, etc. I don't think any of us can read music. And now I will teach a kid how to play the piano, how we learned it, and I will show them a couple of chords to get started on. And if they're musical, they're off. You get C, D minor, E minor, F, G, A minor, right there. That's like most of the Beatles songs.
Right.
That's more than you need to know.
Which leads us back to Eleanor Rigby, a song that grew from a single chord.
Dim, 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 dim. In its basic sense, it's just an E minor chord. Dim, 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 dim. And all the fun happens with my melody and the syncopation and the words. It's all against the four. Mm-hmm. Three, four.
The face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
George Martin, the Beatles producer, had introduced Paul to the idea of the string quartet on the song Yesterday.
And I had resisted the idea at first, but when it worked, I fell in love with the idea. So I knew now that I wanted to do a similar thing with Eleanor Rigby. So I would go around to George's house, we'd arrange a little session, and I said to him, you know, I'm fascinated by Bach. Because I'd suddenly grasped that it was mathematics. I could see one, two, one, two, and then on top of that, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, two. Now forming a sort of pyramid, and then one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, one, two, three, four, five, eight, dibba, 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 16 stars. So I love this 2, 4, 8, 16 thing. And I brought this idea and talked to George about this. And he said, well, Bach, you know, would have done this. And he laid out the chords as he had done on Yesterday. George, talking about this later, would say that he then became inspired by Bernard Herrmann, mm-hmm. who had written the Psycho music.
Right.
Which is very dramatic. And he wanted to bring some of that into the arrangement.
Alfred Hitchcock's 1960s classic about the sinister Bates Motel had been a huge box office success.
Dirty night.
You have a vacancy?
No, we have 12 vacancies. 12 cabins, 12 vacancies.
In the movie, Anthony Perkins' character melds with his dead mother and takes revenge on his desires.
Mother, she's just a stranger. She's hungry and it's raining out.
Together, they kill Janet Leigh in that famous char scene. And it's Bernard Herrmann's stabbing violins that make that scene so iconic. While Eleanor Rigby isn't a film, of course, McCartney says that writing the lyrics was like structuring a movie.
Well, I was seeing it like a film, just in my own imagination. I've got two protagonists that are lonely. She and then him. He's not sort of, you don't feel so sorry for him, but he's lonely. So you've got these two, so all the lonely people now becomes the chorus. Where do they belong? Where do they come from?
And in the third verse, the characters are brought together.
Died in the church. So we brought her back to her rice cleaning duties. And so one day she keels over in the church and was buried along with her name. So yeah, she dies and then he comes back. He's the one who buries her and he's wiping his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. And that's your sort of wrap up to the story.
And of course, there's some kind of strange connection between the elderly woman and, of course, in Psycho, it turns out to be a woman who's kind of mummified in some ways, and the son, the kind of crazy son.
It's true, there is a sort of link there.
There's a strange kind
of maybe George thought that link as well.
Yes, possibly.
He's thinking just purely musically, you know.
When you finished it, did you realise at that moment, you know, this is one hell of a song? This is a humdinger of a song.
I thought this is a cracker. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You do. When you've got something that Linda's dad used to say, his left ball twitched.
You know, when he... There's a physical response.
Yeah.
Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father Mackenzie wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Eleanor Rigby from the Beatles' 1966 album, Revolver. In the next episode... we travel behind the Iron Curtain to let ourselves in on one of the greatest jokes of the Cold War era. Back in the USSR. McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, is a co-production between iHeartMedia, MPL, and Pushkin Industries.
Right? Pretty good. You know, I've come out of it again. I'm intrigued. I'm going to continue to follow along here. We as Blotto Beatles didn't get enough of a runtime to sort of tie it up with our Eleanor Rigby episode, which actually maybe a guest has already reserved Eleanor Rigby. That's certainly a hot one, but I thought maybe we could tease some personal sentiment around Eleanor Rigby and maybe go a little round table, a little Price is Right over under here. RB, do you think that Eleanor Rigby on your list is going to end up in the top 20 or not 20? What's the opposite of top 20?
I like the song a lot. It's a lot of songs though. I think this will be more toward the top than toward the bottom for sure. I don't know if it'll crack the 20 though for me.
Scotty C?
I'm kind of in agreement with RB here, but I think its potential is completely there because this song has such like movement and theatrics, and I love this tune. It's cool that like it has this story we know now too, so yeah. That's gonna definitely make a difference for me. I would think that connection.
It's making me look forward to hitting this track.
Totally.
Doing, you know,
I think us ranking it would also be vastly improved if Paul decided to come on our podcast for it. So I'm just putting that out into the universe, putting that on my vision board. Tommy, what do you think? Tundra 20 or Toter 20?
What Scotty just said, is ringing really true for me, because I think hearing him talk about the narrative here and hearing other Paul Muldoon talk about how in their hours and hours of interviews, Paul kept coming back to this one, that this is a touch point for him. Yeah. It definitely raised an importance for me just hearing that and part of it. You can tell, you know, they make it the first episode. And so I wouldn't have said so last week. And I don't want to sound like I'm pandering too much to the pod that is now on our feed, but it really did make me think more about this song in a different way than I had before. And so I think it has the potential to be a top 20 now. It'll be interesting to hear how my thoughts of the 11 other songs he's going to talk. Oh, it's 24 episodes, not 12. Is it 24?
It's 24 episodes. They're going to break it up into two different seasons.
Two seasons. So when we get the other 23, like, do I have similar reactions, or is this the first? Is this the most important, and therefore kind of weighs a little heavier? I'm interested to see how that plays out. How about you?
I am thinking that Eller and Rigby should settle in right around 29 to 32 of our list, somewhere right in there. Write that down. Someone put that
pretty
on the
specific
on the big board. I like
a
lot. I've always been really attached to this song before I knew anything about it, and then today or last week when we got to hear this, I got a little bit more. But yeah, there's certainly something incredible about this track. I love a story song, even if I've never been able to
just the narrative of it, right?
Crack the story, but that narrative that's here. Him saying that he showed this to Ginsberg actually surprised me a little bit. Like, I think on the surface, I don't know that this song would have gotten by Allen Ginsberg, to be honest. Like, I feel like he would have get, you know, like darning his socks. You're gonna let him get away with that, you know. But
well, the poetry aspect was interesting. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I didn't really think of it like that. Yeah,
but this toes like a line of something. Like, it's almost, I don't know. Is it musically so? You know, there's something in here that sometimes we give Paul grief about, but right now we're saying like, oh, it hits in Eleanor Rigby, and well, I know it does.
I mean,
it's just that magic
give Paul
thing.
Grief for not being personal enough, and then he altered the line, Father McCartney, because it was too personal. Like, he felt like it was he felt too exposed, maybe, or uncomfortable about putting his own
last about name. It, yeah.
Really, I do have one question for us now that the listening audience has heard the A Life in Lyrics' first episode. Were any of you guys a little spooked out by the gravestone story? The fact that the names are
Paul
on the gravestone?
Remember it correctly.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh. It's almost Halloween, guys, and I was feeling a little spooky.
For a very special Halloween episode.
Spooky scary.
Now I know what the mystery word is for Eleanor Rigby.
Yes.
Spooky.
But yeah, I had a great time with it, and I'm going to strap in. I think they are dropping two episodes today, so you just listen to Eleanor Rigby, and I think you can go over to their feed right now and hear Back in the USSR.
Yeah,
and then I think we're going to get 10 more episodes this season. They haven't told us what those are going to be, and then I think they're going to take a break and give us 12 more.
And
that show is called? What's the
Paul McCartney? It's called McCartney, A Life in Lyrics.
And that's available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Everywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you to our new friends at Pushkin for sharing this with us, giving us the early look. Yeah. We do appreciate it. It really allows us to hold something over all our other Beatles podcasting friends that we got this and they didn't. So that's amazing.
Well, we don't know. Today could just be a barrage of Beatles podcasts.
Of these, you think so?
We're unsure yet. But forgot. I do have one more point. I think where I'm always struggling to find a scale on how we rate Beatles music and what it is, I think we can now say, does it or does it not make your left ball twitch?
I forgot about that.
Now part of the now it's part of canon.
That was
part of Beatles canon.
Linda's dad used to say
makes my left ball twitch.
Something good was happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Mm. Keep that in the back pocket.
Keep that one in my back pocket. Yeah. Hey, this was a shorter episode for us. A little teaser here. Once again, thank you to our friends at Pushkin. And once again, this was another very special episode of Blotto Beatles. We want to thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you. Don't forget to hit us up on all the socials. You can find us at Blotto Beatles. Subscribe and rate us on your podcast app of choice. And as always, remember, this show is performed by absolute professionals. We encourage you all to enjoy Blotto Beatles responsibly. We're going to hit the road. We're going to be back to our normally scheduled program in just a couple weeks here. And we leave you with these three words, my friends. Peace.
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 And
love.